The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Welcome to the podcast. It's Stu and Glenn. We should point out we're going to be going back on tour, and we would love you to join us. We're going to be in Florida in a couple weeks. Go to glennbeck.com/tour to check it out.
And we won't have to tolerate a socialist governor.
That does seem that way. You may have to have one that's a left-leaning senator. That one maybe not decided yet. That's one of the big focuses of the podcast, of course. We go through the races. What does it mean? Is this a win or a loss? I think that's kind of one of the things we disagreed on a little bit today. Should we be looking at this positively or maybe a little negatively?
I think I've settled on a little of both. I mean, yeah. I do like, we started the podcast today with a little bit of celebration. You know, you first get in and you're like, okay, I'm celebrating the fact that the left feels so horrible today.
You have to do that a little.
That is great. And I'm also celebrating the fact that Ocasio-Cortez is the only Democratic socialist that won. That doesn't work. That's not connecting with America,
which is
really good.
So we go through that. We also talk to Bill O'Reilly about the election results. And we go through a bunch of the ballot initiatives, kind of the strange stuff. In fact, a very bizarre tax from Nevada that was
very bizarre.
Look into that one.
We'll try to get you the answer on that one. That's the podcast day after the election.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Wednesday, November 7th.
Alexipure. Alexipure, if you suffer from asthma, COPD, bronchitis, emphysema, your allergies keep you up at night.
Seconds.
Colder weather means there's more time indoors, and for those that suffer from respiratory conditions or allergies, it's going to be harder for you. Now, listen, most air purifiers do not do what the Alexipure Breeze does. This is a true HEPA air purifier with patented IO cluster technology. It removes 99.97% of irritants from the air, and it is less than a third of the cost, I think, of others. It's BreezeCleanAir.com. Go there now. Save $100 at BreezeCleanAir.com. Finally, affordable, effective, true HEPA indoor air purification, BreezeCleanAir.com.
Glenn Beck.
Sir. Okay, you know, I'm having one of those moments, Stu, where you want to be a bigger person. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You want to be a bigger person.
Do
and
you?
You want to say, you know, I don't want to rub it in anybody's face. But I don't think I can be that person today. I'm going to let the left speak for themselves.
Okay.
You know, the media personalities, some of them expressed surprise, some of them disappointment, some of them despair, because there was not the blue wave. And I just thought it would be, I thought we'd start here. This is the moment MSNBC absorbs the Ted Cruz win. Here it is.
Hey, guys, I got to interrupt.
In the re-election, no,
we have a big call. This is out of Texas. NBC News is projecting Ted Cruz will return to the Senate from Texas, and Republicans will be guaranteed control of the Senate as a result.
Let's go to Chris Hayes, who is in El Paso at the Bloomberg headquarters. Chris Hayes, we've been going back to you all night long as we've been watching this almost unbelievably close race unfold. NBC now projecting that Ted Cruz will be reelected. I got to ask you about how it feels in the room and whether or not people in the room have absorbed that call.
I don't think they have absorbed it at all, to be totally honest. Loud music playing, it's filled. I mean, someone earlier tonight, a Texas Democrat who's elected, described the math in Texas like being in a prison and trying to get up over the wall. He said you could try a million million different ways. It's a tall wall, and it's really hard. And Beto has done a lot to get up over that wall. It looks like he's going to fall short. I also just talked to a Texas Democratic a Texas source who said already it's the best night, just to put this in perspective, for Texas Democrats in a generation.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best night for Texas Democrats in a generation, and yet they're still on the wrong side of the wall in prison. Apparently, here's Jake Tapper when he decides things aren't really going the way everyone expected.
One of the things that's an interesting side effect of this, if you will, is a lot of the Republicans who were critics of President Trump, Carlos Curbelo in Florida, Mike Hoffman in Denver, they are being defeated. So when the Republican Party regains or reconvenes in the House, assuming Democrats have taken over or not, either way, that will be a more Trumpy Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. The critics will have been picked off quite a bit.
So, Jake, what exactly does that mean about the blue wave? Here he is. A little while later,
it is entirely possible that the Democrats will regain control of the House today. But I have to say, when you look at what's going on here tonight, this is not a blue wave.
It's not
a wave that is knocking out all sorts of Republican incumbents. No. We saw you just called the Kentucky 6th district. Now, there are all sorts of ways that Democrats can regain the House without Amy McGrath having defeated incumbent Congressman Andy Barr. But the fact is, she did not. And if she had, that would have really been an indication of a big, powerful blue wave. The fact that she did not, and it is a district that he won 2 years ago, Congressman Barr, by more than 20 points. But this was a target. Democrats did hope to win Kentucky 6.
And now, I just want to point out that it is not a blue wave. Now Jake is a pretty fair guy, I think, but you could hear... You could hear the little hearts breaking all around the table at CNN last night. Here's Dana Bash.
Yeah, let's take a look at the map here of the governor's offices. We're still waiting to hear, but there's some really significant ones that we should point out. First of all, the projection, we didn't really have a chance to talk about it, but the idea that Ron DeSantis is going to be the next governor of Florida, winning over Andrew Gillum, is quite significant. The fact that Mike DeWine is going to be the next governor of Ohio, keeping that state in Republican hands, that's going to be quite significant. And why do I say it's going to be significant? It's going to be significant because of the 2000 presidential election. Those are two incredibly important states. President Trump and the Democrats will be competing heavily for them. And the fact is that there will be Trump supporters in the Capitol, in the governor's offices of both of them. So that's quite significant when it comes to the governor's offices. And then we're waiting to hear from a few others.
Dana. Here's
look,
you go.
I mean, remember the context of this. The governor's mansions were a place where Republicans had made a lot of gains over the past several years. Yeah. And this election, Democrats were hoping to chip away at it big time. They did in some cases. Yeah. But these two examples, Jake, that you just put up there are big heartbreaks
big
for Democrats. Obviously, the biggest is Florida because they were really hoping that Andrew Gillum.
Okay, can I go to Chuck Todd here just for a second? Chuck had some hearts that were broken there that they were sweeping up at NBC as well. Here's Chuck Todd.
I got my pollsters here. I talked to my Republican half. Let me talk to my Democratic half here, Fred Yang. You're going to have to pay attention, look at the camera, and turn to me here. Democrats got the House, but in the statewide races, no signature win for Democrats, whether it's Florida, Georgia, Texas.
Can we go to Savannah Guthrie? She had just a little bit to say, too. Go ahead.
Really prevail we know, as in Chuck, other parts of the country.
We know, as Chuck pointed out, in a wave election that's nationalized on a referendum around, say, Trump, Indiana goes Democratic, doesn't stay Republican. And so when you look at an early hour on the House races, we know enough already to be able to tell that the notion of a blue tsunami crashing over Donald Trump's Washington does not look like at this hour that it's materializing. And in fact, when you look at the remaining U.S. Senate seats that are falling into play, chances are overwhelmingly likely that there will be pickups in the Senate.
Andrew, you want to get on this?
Just very briefly, it's also not only who's getting elected.
It's who's not getting elected. The next cut, please,
from this Savannah. Election, because Marsha Blackburn is the first Republican to be elected from Tennessee who's not a moderate, not a Bob Corker. Go all the way back. They elect moderate Republicans from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander. She is a Tea Party elected House member who is very much a Donald Trump
kind of Republican. Maybe it's the red wave on the Senate side, at least.
Yeah, well, that exit poll showed it was the
Democrat. Stop. I just want to point out that anybody who says, and it is a horse apiece here, this is not a clear victory, but it is worth stating, some hearts were broken last night. Some hearts were broken last night. Van Jones was very, very sad last night. Others were very, very sad last night. Now, I don't, want to dance on their... Yes, I do. But I'm not going to dance about that. What I am going to say is I've never in my lifetime seen a media campaign for two solid years to discredit, to call every name under the sun, to smear, to destroy, to convince America that this is the worst thing that has ever happened to us. I've never seen this amount of money, this amount of airtime to try to thwart anything. I don't think this kind of airtime and money was spent for any war that I have lived in. I don't think I've ever seen this, ever. They weren't this lockstep to convince us that war was good and we had to go fight our enemy. Never. I didn't see it with the Soviet Union. They didn't spend this kind of time and money in my lifetime trying to convince us that the Soviet Union was evil. They put everything on the table. They left everything on the field. The Democrats and the media and Hollywood have left all of it on the field. And gosh darn it, they just came up short. Now, here's the one thing they're not going to do. Reflect. They are not going to reflect. I did. And I have some advice. I have some advice for the Democrats, but they will never listen. And in fact, Stu was driving in this morning. They had Michael Moore on MSNBC. They are doubling down, which is exactly what I expected them to do. I celebrate that. The worst thing they could do is double down. The worst thing they could do is say, oh, Ocasio-Cortez, she's the new face of the Democrat. That's the worst thing they could do for them. It's the best thing that could happen to our constitutional republic. They are going to double down. And they are going to get worse. And they're trapped. They really are trapped. Nancy Pelosi came out last night and immediately said, we are not going to impeach. Well, Nancy, how are you going to keep all of those that currently want to eat you? How are you going to keep those people on the left that you have brought into the party that are so radical that all they want to do, all they want is blood? That's all they want. 41% of the people who voted last night, so I could pretty much guarantee they're all Democrats, 41% that went into the poll last night, they said they wanted to impeach Donald Trump. 41%. How are you going to keep those people at bay? How are you going to not look like a traitor to the cause to those people? There is a war that is happening right now in the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi probably will not allow impeachment to happen because it would be the worst thing. But I don't know if she can keep that party together. It was not an optimal night. Keeping the House would have been fantastic. But last night, both sides should have learned something. And here's the first thing the Republicans should do. The Republican House has already passed 100 bills. I don't even know what they all are. but some of them are probably pretty good. They've already passed them. They're just waiting for the Senate. The Senate should pick up those 100 bills, and they should pass them. Then Congress should get together right now and put together another tax cut. You could pass it right now. Pass another tax cut. Pass it, pass it, pass it. Here's why. One of the things that you should take away from this is it is the economy, stupid. If the economy goes to hell in the next 2 years, Donald Trump will have problems. He's got to keep the economy going because this is a razor's edge margin. If the economy falls apart, it's going to be hard to keep going in 2020. Now, there is one bright side to that. Who are the Democrats going to run? Last night, I think, changed everything for 2020 because we learned last night Spartacus just ain't the answer.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
How are you feeling about last night, Pat?
I feel pretty good about it. Not great, but pretty good. I really feel good about the lamentation of MSNBC and CNN. I love that. That just feels good.
You know,
to me.
I just...
That's wrong of me, I know, but
I know, it just feels good for a day. I'm good with it today.
I'm just
really
going to be okay with gloating a little bit today.
Yeah, and it's not that we have anything to gloat. I mean, we didn't hold the House.
Right.
However,
right.
It wasn't the bloodshed, and there are a couple of really bright spots. The Democratic Socialists did not make a dent.
Which is fantastic.
Fantastic.
The only one who won was Ocasio-Cortez.
Right.
She was the only one.
I have to tell you, I can deal with Democrats if America starts embracing Democratic Socialists who are saying the Constitution needs to be redone. They were talking in this campaign about getting rid of the Senate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's how crazy this
and
was.
And they will.
They will.
There will... I mean, they'll also try to get rid of the Electoral College before the next election.
Yeah, they will. They have to.
That's a big deal.
They have to.
They think they win every single election if it's just the popular vote. That's
right.
What they think.
Well, that's why our founders didn't do it.
Right.
Because that always fails because you have a minority. And here's what's really important to understand. The center of the country should not dictate for, you know, what the cities have to do, and the cities shouldn't dictate to the center of the country. We have the Electoral College, so no one slim majority gets away with oppressing the minority. But that's also only one of the stopgaps. The other is, don't federalize everything.
Right.
If it's not federalized, I don't care. And the cities don't care because the cities can do what they want and the states can do what they want, period.
Yeah.
It's kind of a brilliant system, but nobody wants to look at it.
There's a reason it's lasted this long.
So yeah. The idea with Gillum losing and who was the governor in Texas or in, sorry, in
Georgia?
Georgia.
Brian Kemp. Is now the governor.
Yeah. The other one was...
Are you talking about his opponent?
Yeah,
Stacey Abrams.
Oh,
Stacey
yeah.
Abrams.
For her to lose, and especially with the added extra sugar on top of Oprah campaigning,
yeah,
just makes it wonderful.
Abrams is not yet conceded, apparently. She wants a do-over. She thinks there should be a do-over for the vote, and I'm not sure how that works. I don't think
you can
call that.
I don't think that's constitutional.
I call do-over. I don't think that's a thing. The other thing I think is, you know, pretty great is today I am not eating my underwear.
Yes.
I feel really good about that.
Did you hear the moment NBC announced and called it?
I just on your guys' show. It was fantastic. Oh, can we play it?
Can we play it again? I just love
just
the silence.
Silence.
They just don't know what to do. here it is. This is the moment NBC called it for Cruz.
Hey guys, I got to interrupt.
In the reelection, no,
we have a big call. This is out of Texas. NBC News is projecting Ted Cruz will return to the Senate from Texas, and Republicans will be guaranteed control of the Senate as a result.
Hello.
Guys, is anybody...
Let's go to Chris Hayes, who is in El Paso.
I just love that.
It took 6 seconds for a response. That's an eternity on broadcast television.
I love that.
It's an eternity. They're just stunned. They don't know what to do.
Right. And they will not self-reflect.
So no, they will not.
They will not.
And that's a good thing, probably, because we'll beat them again because of it. They will never figure out what the American people actually want.
Because they don't really care.
They don't care.
They don't care. They think they are smarter than the rest of the country. And that's the problem. Right. That's the problem. You think you're smarter. That is what? Progressivism. We're smarter. You're a cow. I'm a rancher. Just get into the pen and just go up the ramp. Yes, we're going to shoot you in the head in a few minutes. Just go on the ramp. You're a cow. That's the way they view things. Mm-hmm. You're too stupid to be able to figure things out. And so when you go against what they are planning, they just think you're a monster or just so stupid that we need to regulate you even more.
Yep. And that's why they will continue to lose. I hope. I mean, the second they win with those attitudes is the second I think America is over.
Now, Gavin Newsom, the guy who brought poop to the streets of San Francisco, is now now able to bring poop to all of California. And
good.
And I think that's fantastic.
Good.
I think that's fantastic.
I didn't notice that. Did he win?
Governor? He's the governor.
Oh, wow.
Now. You went from Jerry Brown
to Gavin Newsom. That's really bad.
Can you imagine? The guy who did this to San Francisco, you bring that on?
Oh, man. When will Californians learn?
They won't.
No, and then their state will continue to deteriorate, and they'll continue to leave it.
I know I'm not supposed to gloat, but it just makes me happy when I think of all of the effort that Hollywood put into this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Hollywood is on a suicide watch to take all of the shoestrings and belts away from every celebrity in California.
They were all in on Beto. So invested in him. And so last night, the Alyssa Milanas of the world and somebody named Busy Phillips. Do you know who that is, Stu?
Busy Phillips?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no.
I've never. Anyway.
Phillips, but they're very busy. It's Phil, but he's so busy.
Pivoted now to just 2020. Okay, well, Beto lost, but that's okay. He'll just run for president in 2020.
I mean, he is in that window. We talked about this before the election. He got close enough that it doesn't completely
disqualify. He is in that window.
Yeah, he's within four. They came within four, 3 points.
That's shocking to me.
It's a matter of whether he wants to now.
Yeah, he said, of course, yesterday he would not.
But I mean, they always say no.
He's gonna, of course, he's going to. Yes, he's going to run. But here's the thing. What the Democrats should do, and I hate to say this out loud, but they're not listening. What the Democrats should do are run more candidates like Beto. Beto is a guy who's saying all the right thing. Look, I'm just for common sense, blah, blah, blah.
And he's extreme.
He's so extreme. If you can find those candidates that will, for instance, Sinema. She is as extreme as they come. Yet she was saying on the campaign trail, no, we've got to do something about these borders.
Right.
Well, her something is not the something that I think people in Arizona were looking for. But she was playing the moderate. When you play the moderate, you can win.
Even Abrams in Georgia was saying, as she's talking about confiscating guns from people, I'm all about the Second Amendment. I'm just talking about common sense legislation here.
Right.
No, you're not.
Right.
You're talking about, but it
that's
works
what
with people.
Keep, yes,
works.
That's what kept it close.
Right.
That's what kept it close.
Yep.
So if they do that and they put the mask back on, it's going to make our jobs a lot more difficult. Because then they're going to go, oh, conspiracy theory. He's just a racist for saying that we want to come for all of your guns. No, that's what you're saying.
And they're still trying to get away with that, even though people are actually taking the mask off. Like you predicted they were going to. They have. Many of them have. You think about Jim Carrey's appearance a few weeks ago on Bill Maher, where he was talking about socialism. And Bill Maher was like, hey, don't play into their hands with that, Jim, because they're using that conspiracy theory against us. And he's like, what do you mean? I think we should embrace it. Embrace the word and all of it. We are socialists. Let's just be socialists. It's better.
No, it's not.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
that's
not.
Pretty amazing. And that, okay, I can fight you on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can argue about that. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that. Mm-hmm. If you think socialism is better.
Let's go. Let's go toe-to-toe.
Prove it.
On the facts.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's a difference between socialized medicine, which does not work. Right. And we can talk about the facts. There's a difference between socialized medicine and what Canada is. Canada is a capitalist nation.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a socialist state. It is a capitalist nation with a giant welfare state.
Same with Europe.
That's different. Yeah. It's still not good, but it's different than what the Democratic Socialists are saying. And the problem is for the Democrats, is the Democratic Socialists took their masks off and they literally were. I'm amazed. That they would actually say, and you know what? The Senate just doesn't work. We need to abolish the Senate.
It's just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that goes beyond what you were saying about them taking the mask off.
Oh, yeah.
Off.
I would never think
they'd do that.
No way. They would say, you know, capitalism just doesn't work. That's what I said.
Yeah.
This capitalist
and
system
they have said that.
Just doesn't work. Right. Never would I believe they would go so far to say
the system doesn't work.
The
either.
System, the Constitution
wow.
doesn't work, and we need to abolish the Senate.
Yeah.
That's so far over the edge. And only people like Ocasio-Cortez can get away with that because she's talking to a very small number of people in her district.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can get that small number in her district, but you cannot get America on board for that.
Let's hope not, because the minute they can, then it is over. It's not
so
America
the minute
anymore.
They can, I will tell you the minute that they will do it. The day the economy collapses.
Yeah, right.
If the economy collapses,
then
please,
we're in trouble. All bets are off.
Please, Donald Trump, please, Mr. President, I beg you, please listen to your advisors. The trade war is your biggest. It will be your downfall. If you don't stop the trade war, that gets any worse and it's going to kill the economy. And you will not win without the economy. Please, Mr. President, stop with the trade war.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is a phone service that will give you all of the great coverage that you want. They're just not going to take the money from you and then invest that in causes that you don't believe in, like Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile actually is going to let you invest your money into the causes that you believe in. But most of these cell companies, they give all kinds of money to crazy, crazy causes that you work hard against.
It's true. Why do that? You can go with Patriot Mobile. They were created to solve that problem. They're the only conservative cell phone company in America. Go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code blaze, they're going to waive the activation fee for up to two lines. patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is the place to go.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly, who I spent far too much time with last night. Welcome to the program, Bill.
I'm here, Beck. I am up early and ready to go.
Now, Bill, what are your what's your initial thought from what happened last night?
Well, I think that President Trump has to basically rethink his confrontational strategy for the next year, in the sense that he has to go on a charm offensive. Mm-hmm. You know what I do every day on BillO'Reilly.com? I'm very charming and engaging and charismatic.
Not really.
No. Okay. No. Well, Stu might be able to explain it to you.
Right. Okay.
So the reason that the Republicans lost the House wasn't because of Republican policies. Everybody should understand that. If it were, they would have lost the Senate, too, because the Senate is a more important body. Mm-hmm. So people weren't voting because they didn't like Trump's economic plan, or they didn't like the North Korean thing or the trade thing. They were voting because they didn't like him. All right? They didn't like, we don't like you. And that were primarily women voters. Not men. Men broke for him, but women do. And we don't like you. You're too much. It's too antagonistic. That's a lesson I think the president should learn. He hinted at it yesterday and said, "Well, maybe I'll soften it up a little." He should. Now that doesn't mean he becomes a wuss. It doesn't mean he takes a lot of garbage from the press, which is flat out dishonest. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means he picks his battles a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And he maybe de-emphasizes the personal nature of immigration and gets into, hey, do you want anarchy? Do you want a country that has no law?
Yeah.
But he diminishes the fact that they come from Guatemala and Mexico. See what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so I think it's his personal attacks. And you know what I said earlier today, the thing that both sides should take away is the extreme polarization is not good.
The left's never going to do that. In
no,
fact,
I know
the left's going to fall into a trap. So when these crazy bomb-throwing Congress people get power, like Nadler and Schiff and Pelosi, they're going to start to misbehave, Beck. Misbehave. All right? And that's going to help Trump and the Republicans, because nobody wants chaos when they're trying to earn a living. Remember that, what I just said. Nobody wants chaos when they're trying to earn a living. All right? Now, if these people, oh, we want to see his tax thing, and we want to see where he does his hair, and then impeachment, which is never going to happen. Everybody knows it's not going to happen because the Senate is now firmly in the hands of the Republicans. So why even bothering with this exercise? Because you want to create chaos. And nobody wants chaos when they're trying to make a living. So those people in the far left, if they're going to do that, they're almost assuring that President Trump will win in 2020 and the Republicans will regain the House.
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi is really got her back up against the wall here, because she said immediately last night, we are not going to impeach. I mean, unless the Republicans want to join us, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Pelosi is not stupid.
Right. However,
she may be way misguided, and she knows just what I said is true.
But here's the problem. 41% of the people who went out and voted last night, which had to be almost every Democrat, 41%. All said they wanted the president to be impeached. So how do you get the House and then take the, let's just say, 10% of that base that is very radical and put that genie back into the bottle and be normal?
I don't know, genie.
no, seriously.
I don't know what you said.
How do you contain?
I think you ignore them, Beck. If you're the Democratic leadership, you learn a couple of things from last night. Number one, the radical left is not going to bring you power in this country. The big winners, as we said in TV last night, and by the way, I have a question for you and Stu as Texans, and I got to get to that, so
okay,
just
right.
keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But the big thing that we said on TV last night is Joe Biden's a big winner because he's the most well-known moderate Democrat.
Yeah.
And the country doesn't want
Spartacus.
Beto.
Yeah.
They don't want Gillum.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want these socialists.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be very apparent to everybody. And the Democratic structure now shifts into presidential gear. We got to beat them in 2020. So Biden knows it. Biden is like Mr. Diplomat this morning. I'm using a soundbite on BillO'Reilly.com tonight. Oh, no, we have to come back to civility, and we have to be this, we have to be that. Now, Bloomberg is also going to run as a moderate Democrat with a lot of money, much more money than Biden has. But Bloomberg is New York-centric. Nobody really knows
him. Nobody's going to vote for Bloomberg. Bloomberg is not a guy who could win. He's just not.
Okay. I kind of agree with that, but he's going to throw all kinds of bombs into the Democratic machine because he's got so much money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't dismiss him because everybody said that about Trump. Bloomberg is like the Democratic version of Trump in a much different personality mode. But he doesn't need anybody's money. He's a billionaire.
But he's not. But wait a minute. Here's the point. There's a huge difference. Donald Trump was a personality that was in everybody's house. I mean, the Apprentice really set him up to be the president of the United States. He was in everybody's house. Yep, he was generally trusted. They knew him. They liked his, you know, bombastic style. Nobody knows Bloomberg in the center of the country, and he's just not a likable guy. He's just not.
He doesn't want you to drink soda.
I know, which makes him a very unlikable guy.
So all the Dr. Pepper drinkers aren't going to vote for him. Now, I got questions for you.
All right.
So Cruz wins by what, 3%?
Yes, shocking.
Okay, yeah. So what's going on in Texas? Tell me what's going on.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, Ted Cruz screwed up and betrayed, I think, both sides of the conservative movement. He was a never-Trumper who said, and had every reason, you know, my dad killed Kennedy.
I didn't know that.
So all of these crazy things that were said about him, and he was strong and he took a strong principled stance. Now the time to say, okay, you know what, that was during the election, is at the convention. And so at the convention he decided to not endorse Donald Trump, which pissed off all of the Donald Trump people. Then in the shadows, he decides to endorse Donald Trump out of the spotlight. So he gets none of the credit. He gets all of the blame for not endorsing him. And then he comes and endorses him. And so he pisses off all of the other side. He's also very wooden. Now, those are the things about Ted Cruz that were happening here in Texas. What you also have to take into consideration is you have, you know, Pinocchio, the wooden boy, and you have this guy, you know, what was his name? The boy that came and, you know, took him down with the donkeys. You have that guy in Beto, who everybody, he's fun in games and he skateboards and everybody likes him, and $70 million. That's not, yeah, that's not counting all of the Hollywood love and all of the money that has come into this state in the last 4 years just to change it to blue. There is a huge effort.
You think it's a one-off?
No.
Cruz
no, I don't.
Just didn't run his profile as a senator well, and this is an anomaly.
No, I don't. I think that this is two things, an anomaly and a very early sign that if Texans don't wake up and the Republicans don't wake up, you're going to be looking at a California by 2024.
Very good analysis. I don't think Texans will ever go the way of California, because I lived there for a couple of years, and there's a real strain of independence there.
Bill,
they don't want
you're
big government down their throats like you have in California every time you turn around.
You are right, but I lived here in the 80s, I lived here in the 90s, and I live here now. It is not the same place it was in
not
the 80s
changing.
And 90s.
There's a lot of people coming in for economic reasons.
Yes.
But do they want, you know, the taxes to follow them there?
Yes, they don't. They don't get it. Yes, they're from California.
Well,
they voted for it in the first place.
Right. The other thing that I want to note is that the power in America to change our society lies with judges. And since the Republicans have increased, remember, you're not going to have a John McCain, Obamacare situation anymore, not going to have a Jeff Flake, all that, Susan Collins, not going to have it anymore. The comfortable margin. So Trump will get more judges appointed. He's already on a record-breaking scheme of getting judges, and the judges are going to put the brakes on the politically correct society. And that is like been overlooked. Byron York had a very good column today in a Washington Examiner saying that the real power to change America lies with judges.
Shouldn't be that way, but he's right.
He's right.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks, well, Supreme Court, you know, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg suddenly moves to Argentina, as I've been encouraging her to do, there'll be another appointment. But it's not a, it's about the lower court federal judges that are appointed by Trump, and the Senate has to okay them.
And I will
now.
I will tell
that's
you,
like, come on in here.
Right. That is the real thing that Ted Cruz and Mike Lee need credit for. Donald Trump. One of the reasons why I think Ted Cruz, and I don't know, but one of the reasons why I think Ted Cruz, you know, kind of cozied up to him is because he saw if I cozy up to him, I can help with the judges. And he and Mike Lee kind of given the keys to Daddy's car. And they have designed Trump's lower court judge policies and the list that he picks from. And they've done a remarkable job on that.
Yeah, because that should give every traditional American hope that this nutty, crazy, socialist, PC, Me Too, all of this stuff, no due process, hang you on an allegation, that can be stopped by the courts. One final question for you and Stu. Is Stu still there, by the way?
I'm waiting for your next question, Bill.
Okay. Did Trump save Cruz with the Houston thing? Did he save him?
I tend to think the answer to that is no. I think he would have won anyway. I mean, if you look at, you know, to your point earlier, Bill, I mean, you know, Greg Abbott, who's also ran against someone very similar in policy to Beto O'Rourke, beat his opponent by 13 or 14 as for governor. I think really Beto just caught that wave and all that money and all the excitement. Mm-hmm. And Cruz, you know, I mean, I like Cruz a lot. I think he's done a really good job as a senator. I like his voting record.
He has.
But he's not the greatest candidate in the universe. And I think that those two things, even with that perfect storm, they still could only get within 3 points. Okay. So I don't think that was the difference, though certainly didn't hurt. I mean, I think it was definitely helpful. And the fact that both of those guys have been able to get over whatever they had going on in the primaries, you know, it's probably a good thing for the Republican Party.
It is.
If not, yeah,
it is.
I think
gotta come
last
together.
Night on TV, Beck had a tie on and a jacket, if everybody, I hope you saw that. It was very impressive.
That's why people tuned into the coverage, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think more clothes, Beck made an excellent point by saying that the alternative media last night, okay, BillO'Reilly.com, The Blaze, we were talking with CRTV, we were talking with Newsmax.
Daily Wire.
We're much better than the Reuters and the establishment media, which were boring and didn't tell you anything.
Yep. Bill, thank you very much. I appreciate it, brother.
We'll see you Friday,
you
right?
You got it. You got it.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
Let me go to Mark in Rhode Island. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn.
Yes.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you? It's
great to talk with you.
Thank you.
And I just want to thank you for all of the work that you've done over the years. I've been listening to you and following you since, well, the 2000 election.
Wow.
Mm. Don't give up.
No,
you
I won't.
Are making an impact.
Thank you.
Believe me, I'm in the bluest place in the country, Rhode Island. I mean, we make California look fire engine red.
Wow.
That's true.
So wow. It's crazy. Now, I've got a map in front of me of the congressional districts and Republican versus Democrat. And it's, you know, it's 90% red, 10% blue.
Mm-hmm.
If I switch that map to county by county, This country is 95% red, 5% blue.
Yes.
It's all concentrated in the cities. I'm saying the blue areas,
yes,
the metropolitan areas.
Yes.
What's in the cities? Colleges. What do you find on college campuses?
Communists.
Elitists.
Yes.
What do elitists use as their primary source of news? NPR, without a doubt. NPR is the most destructive force in this country. Something has to be done to stop them. And I don't know what it is, but I find it so incredibly frustrating.
Okay, so first of all, I don't think I agree with you on that. I do believe that they are just far, far left. And they have, and nobody even looks at them. I think if you want to stop them, the only way to stop them really is to cut their funding. And here's the case that you make. If you look at the podcasts, which is the future, and you look at their ratings on radio, et cetera, in some areas they do really well. Their thing is they've never been able to make money. Well, the reason why is it's the way they run it is ridiculous. I would never hire anyone who had NPR experience, and it is not because they're not good. They're very good. And it's not because of their political bias. It's because they do not live in reality. What commercial radio does with one person, it takes them about eight. The other thing is, if you look at the podcast, which are the future, podcasts, they dominate in the podcast world, but they can't make any money. The people that I, and I think the New York Times is this way as well, the three biggest agencies, if you will, for commercials, don't really invest at all in NPR, even though they have huge ratings on podcasts, because no one buys the product. They don't know how to sell. So if you want to stop them, I am not for silencing of any voices. And I personally listen to the New York Times every morning, and I listen to NPR. I want to know what the other side is saying. And so I am very dead set against silencing voices. But here's what you do. You just make them pay for themselves. Stop giving government money to NPR. We don't need that. There are voices out there. There's more chances for people to hear different voices. Look at Pod Saves America. Why do we need NPR? We have that, and it's commercially run. Why do we need it? These stories are being told. You don't need the public radio anymore, the public television anymore. And that's the way you do it, quite honestly. But again, it's not about silencing voices. It's about leveling the playing field. We all like a fair and level playing field, don't we, NPR?
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.